Matthew chapter 22, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet and to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Thanks, Mervyn. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would help us to grasp the truths which we read, not just in our minds as things that we grasp and understand, but things that affect our hearts, that cause us to respond in thankfulness and praise. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Who doesn't like being invited to a party? A birthday party, a wedding reception, a graduation, a Christmas get-together, a baby shower. Well, it doesn't really matter what the reason is. We love being invited to a party. And we're often disappointed if there's something that keeps us from being able to attend. We're scheduled to work on the night that the party is happening. We're going to be away on holidays at the time. We've taken sick. We can't get a babysitter. We would absolutely be there if we could, but something is keeping us from being there, and we hate to turn down the invitation. But the story that Jesus tells here begins with an invitation spurned. Maybe there are invitations that you have turned down before. You're invited to the birthday party of a work colleague, but you already have plans with some of your family, and you send your apologies. You're invited to a graduation party of some of your college friends, but the truth is that you're not really that interested in going, so you're holding off in the hope that something better might be happening instead. You've been invited to a wedding of people you don't even really know that well, and you turn down the invitation because you don't fancy having to fork out the now acceptable amount that you give as a gift to go to a wedding. You're invited to dinner, but the truth is that you've been so busy that you're going to think of nothing better than simply a night in at home. There can be all kinds of reasons why we might turn down an invitation. But in this story that Jesus tells, no apologies are sent, no excuses are offered. The invitation is simply ignored. The invitation is spurned. The invitation is treated as though it is worthless. We're told in verse 5 that those who were invited paid no attention to it. And it wasn't even that there had some pressing issues that were keeping them from going. No, we're told that one went off to his field, another to his business. They just continued on with their normal working day as though the invitation isn't worth the paper that it's written on. And this just isn't any invitation. This is an invitation to the wedding banquet of the king's son. Think about a royal wedding or a big celebrity wedding. The invitation list is like a who's who of the rich and famous, actors and authors, sports stars and musicians, politicians. You don't get an invitation to a wedding like that unless you are someone, an A-list celebrity or someone who holds a position or a title. It's not you and I who get invited to a wedding like that. This is an invitation to the wedding banquet of the king's son. And if you were to get an invitation like that, the last thing you do is turn it down. It doesn't matter how famous you are, how busy you are, or how important you are. You go to the wedding banquet like that because it is the place to be. The paparazzi will be there. Every newspaper will be reporting on it. Photographs will flood celebrity magazines. Social media will be covered with images of people dressed in their finest clothes, portraying the very best image of themselves. And if for some reason you don't attend, well, people will simply assume you weren't invited, that you didn't make the cut, that you weren't important enough to be there. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how busy you are, how important you are, you don't turn down an invitation to the wedding banquet of the king's son. But that's exactly what happens here. This invitation to the wedding banquet of the king's son is spurned in spite of repeated invitations. It seems from verse 3 that invitations had been sent out in advance, and then when everything was ready, the servants went out again to tell the invited guests that it was time to come. But verse 3, they refused to come. Maybe there's been some kind of misunderstanding. So the king sends out his servants again. He's there to tell the invited guests that the fatted cattle have been slaughtered, the food is prepared, and everything is ready. There's to be no confusion this time. The king couldn't make it any clearer. Come to the wedding banquet, he says in verse 4. But this time, they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. How rude is that? But we haven't even heard the worst of it. Verse 6, the rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. Far worse than ignoring the king's invitation, they brutalized the king's servants. It's not only the king's invitation they treat as worthless. They treat the king himself as though he is nothing. They don't only spurn the king's invitation, they rebel against the king's authority. An invitation has been spurned to the wedding banquet of the king's son, despite repeated invitations, provoking the king's wrath. Verse 7, the king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. This isn't a self-indulgent, rich royal who's upset that no one wanted to come to his party. This is a king who is offended at the way in which his subjects have treated his son and his servants. It seems as though these subjects thought that they could live in the king's land, enjoy the king's protection, prosper under the king's favour, while ignoring the king's authority. But they are sadly mistaken. The king will not tolerate that kind of treatment. It's nothing less than rebellion against the king, and the king is rightfully provoked to anger. Now, the story that Jesus tells here is both the story of humankind in general and the story of Israel in particular. The story of humankind is one of rebellion against our Creator, of thinking that we can live in God's world, under God's protection, prospering from God's favour, while all the time ignoring God's authority. And for all this rebellion, God is rightfully provoked. But while this is the story of humankind generally, it's also the story of Israel specifically. God had given them a particular land in which they were to live, enjoying God's protection and prospering from God's favour. This blessing was foretaste of a greater blessing yet to come, that what was true of Israel would be true of the whole earth. that God's kingdom would extend to the ends of the earth with God's Messiah ruling over it. Continuing to live in the land was dependent, however, upon their obedience to God, their king. And many times God had sent prophets to warn them of the judgment that would come if they continued to ignore God's authority. But the prophets were largely rejected, many of them killed. They continually spoke of God's Messiah, God's promised king, but it seemed that they were more interested in prospering in God's land than living under the rule of God's king. Both they and we are the invited guests in Jesus' story who have spurned the invitation to the wedding banquet of the king's son despite repeated invitations provoking the king's wrath. But the story doesn't end there. The king's invitation might have been spurned, but as a result, the invitation is extended. He calls his servants together in verse 8. The wedding banquet is ready, he says, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. The king, it seems, has a problem. Everything is ready. He has slaughtered the oxen and the fatted cattle. The rest of the food has been delivered. The flowers are ordered and the band is booked. Everything is ready. It's too late to cancel. The wedding banquet must go ahead as planned. The spurned invitations will not get in the way of this wedding celebration. Not only is everything ready, but everyone is invited. The king had told his servants in verse 9, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Everyone is invited. That's exactly what the servants do in verse 10. They went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. Everyone is invited. And when I say everyone, I really do mean everyone. There would be no picking and choosing. They invited, verse 10, the bad as well as the good. Can you imagine that royal wedding or that celebrity wedding that we pictured at the beginning? But instead of the kind of guest that you would expect at that kind of wedding, it was attended instead by immigrants, widows, orphans, single mothers, farm workers, factory labourers, petty criminals, even bank robbers, convicted murderers. The kind of people the world might consider either unimportant or undeserving. Imagine the kind of coverage a wedding like that would get in the tabloid newspapers or the glossy magazines. It would be unimaginable. But that's exactly what the king does. The invitation is extended, everything is ready, and everyone is invited. I can tell you how the story would be covered in the Temple Times in Jerusalem. Headlines would read, "The king goes cuckoo. Banquet of bandits, feast of foreigners." The headlines would be far from complimentary. And Jesus' listeners get the very point. Because we read in verse 15 that the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. The Jewish leaders have understood what Jesus is saying and they have had enough. Jesus is telling them that because the Jews have spurned God's invitation, that he's going to extend it to all of the nations. Everything is ready and everyone is invited. Forget the original guest list. It has been torn up and thrown in the bin. It doesn't matter if your name was on that list or not, because now everything is ready and everyone is invited. And as a result, verse 10, the wedding hall was filled with guests. Can you imagine the joy-filled conversations around those banqueting tables? Stories about what you were doing when you received the invitation, how you dropped everything and came, How you never imagined that you would be invited to such a party. No one is here reluctantly. No one is here wishing that they were somewhere else. And no one is here because they think they deserve to be here. Everyone at this wedding feast knows that the only reason they are here is because of the generosity of the King. What a wonderful picture of the gracious invitation of the gospel, that you and I can be included in this great banquet, the good and the bad, the important and the insignificant, because everything is ready and everyone is invited. Only one thing is needed to respond to the invitation to come. That's the gospel message. Everything is ready. Jesus has done everything needed to open the way to God through his death on the cross. You need to do nothing, just come, because everyone is invited. But the story still isn't finished. Jesus has one more twist in the tale. The wedding banquet is underway whenever the King comes across someone who has worn the wrong clothes. It seems like the King is working his way around the wedding guests, entering into conversations and enjoying the festivities, when he comes across a man in verse 11 who was not wearing wedding clothes. Now, ordinarily, choosing clothes for a wedding can take a long time. I'm told that women can take many weeks choosing an outfit. Men, not so much. But the idea here is that even if you have nothing to wear to the wedding, that wasn't to stop you. The King would provide you with suitable wedding garments if you didn't have them. Nothing was to stop anyone from coming. But here is someone who expects to come to the wedding banquet without wearing the wedding clothes. The King confronts him in verse 12, and the man was speechless. He was without excuse. He couldn't say, "I didn't have anything to wear," because the King provided clothes for everyone who needed them. The truth was that even though he came to the wedding, he showed as little gratitude for the generosity of the King as those who refused to come at all. And as a result, he too was excluded from the banquet. He was tied up and thrown out of the banqueting hall into outer darkness. His fate was no better than those who refused to come at all. We too have been invited to the most incredible wedding banquet. It's what the Bible calls the wedding feast of the Lamb, when Jesus and his bride, the church, will be joined together forever. Everything is ready and everyone is invited. But only those who respond to the King's invitation and are clothed in the garments that the King provides will be part of that celebration. The passage we read at the beginning in Isaiah 61 spoke of one who was clothed with garments of salvation and arrayed in a robe of righteousness. It's none other than the bridegroom himself, Jesus, and he provides us with these garments of salvation, these robes of righteousness that make it possible for us to come to this wedding banquet. Not because we are worthy, not because we deserve to be invited, but because of the generosity of the King. Jesus sums up the story with this comment in verse 14. "For many are invited, but few are chosen." It seems to be a strange way to end the story, because it seems to run opposite to all that the story has said before. But Jesus' purpose is to unsettle those who think that they are the chosen ones. Whatever reason that might be. Whether it's someone that's Jesus addressing then, who is from a Jewish background, who thought that that gave them the right to be there. or whether it's those today who think that they're because they're part of a church or a Christian community, that that means they are included, that they're among God's chosen people. Jesus wants to unsettle those who think they're included. Those who first got the invitation to the banquet might have considered themselves the chosen ones. The nation of Israel thought that they had this special standing with God. But instead, Jesus says the chosen ones are those who actually come to the wedding banquet accepting the wedding clothes that the king provides, and only they enjoy the wedding feast that the king has prepared. You are invited to the wedding banquet of God's own Son, Jesus. Everything is ready, and everyone is invited. But you must accept the wedding clothes that the king provides. This robe of his righteousness which he offers to you, a robe that covers up your unrighteousness, your fallenness, your sinfulness, your shame, robes that make you worthy to be seated at this table, and robes that we receive simply by faith in Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, it is hard to grasp just the immensity of your grace that we read in a story like this, that everyone is invited, that nothing that we have done in the past could possibly exclude us from being part of this wedding banquet that lies ahead, because everyone is invited. Oh, Father, we pray that the things that we've done in the past would not keep us away from you, but realize that they're the very things that should drive us towards you. We know that we have nothing to offer, nothing worth wearing, and we need you to clothe us with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that you would strip away from us any sense of pride, of worthiness, of thinking that somehow we deserve to be here and looking down on others. But rather may our conversations instead be those kind of joy-filled conversations of people who know they don't deserve to be there. They could never deserve to be there. And that we will only be there because of the kindness of the King. Oh, Father, we pray that where we are trusting in anything other than this righteousness that Jesus gives, that you would reveal it to us, that we would not be those who think we are included in your kingdom and find out in the future that we're not, that we've been trusting in the wrong thing. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us to grasp the seriousness of that and to turn and trust in Jesus, we pray. And we ask that in his name. Amen.